This is the Bad Batch podcast on TV Podcast Industries, and we're talking about The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 5, The Return.
What are the sensors for? Perimeter detection against local raiders. You didn't think to warn us about these raiders before? Now, they were all dealt with. And how do you know that? Take a guess. Just following orders. If you're scared, why don't you wait on the ship?
Hey, kill each other later. We're here for a reason. Let's crack into the data pad and get out of here.
Welcome back, fellow Batchers, to the Bad Batch podcast on TV Podcast Industries. We're here with The Return, episode 5 of season 3 of The Bad Batch. I am one of your returning hosts, John.
I am one of your other hosts, Derek.
It is I, Chris, and I am the return of the Chris, because as close as I could get to Return of the Mac.
Yes, you are pushing the Return of the Mac quite heavily.
Yes.
I don't know why. It's a terrible song.
Oh, yeah, I know, but it could be like, it's like Return of the Man. Captain Man is coming back.
It could be.
That's what it is. It's the Return of the Man.
I don't think he's getting out of that box with the tentacle creature. No. Ever. From
well,
last week's episode.
If he does, it might be because he's flushed away.
Maybe. But we do get the return of a character in this episode. We do get the return of Echo this time.
Yes. Good old Echo gets back on board. We have... With the exception of those that have fallen, it's almost a full hand of cards here.
It's the full crew that are still left. But we'll talk about it, of course, as we get into our spoiler-filled discussion about the episode.
Yes, before we get into our spoiler-filled discussion, please, fellow Batchers, if you are new to the podcast, please head on over to our website at tvpodcastindustries.com, where you can subscribe on any Rebel or Imperial podcast catcher of your choice. You can also leave your feedback, theories, observations, comments on all things to do with The Bad Batch Season 3 over at feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com, or head on over to our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TV Podcast Industries, where we will have a spoiler post for each and every episode of The Bad Batch for you to comment on with your thoughts, theories, observations, and whatnot.
Exactly. Great stuff. We get into the episode, John.
Yes. So, Derek, what are some of the episode details for The Return?
Well, the executive producers of the show, of course, are Dave Filoni and Jennifer Corbett. This episode was written by Amanda Rose Munoz. This is the fifth episode she's written of The Bad Batch, with two episodes in season one and two episodes in season two.
Excellent stuff. This is great to always get returning writers or directors, which happens a lot.
I think specifically for this episode, especially because it is all about The Batch, you'd need someone. I was kind of surprised that it wasn't Jennifer Corbett that took this episode as the main writer for it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But I guess significant input. Anyway.
I'm sure, absolutely, as she does on each of the episodes. But this episode was directed by Nate Villanueva, who's directed loads of episodes throughout this series. And the story editor for the show, of course, is Matt McNevitz. John, do you want to tell us what they gave us with your synopsis for The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 5, The Return?
Sure. After reuniting, Omega, Crosshair, Hunter, and Wrecker rest up on Pabu and wait for the last member of the Bad Batch, Echo, to return. While Crosshair avoids talking to Hunter, Wrecker admits that Omega's endorsement is enough for him to welcome back his brother. Echo arrives and debriefs Omega and Crosshair on everything they know that could lead them to Dr. Hemlock and Mount Tantis. Omega still has Nala Se's datapad, but doesn't have access to it because of the heavy Imperial encryption. Crosshair suggests that the team go to the abandoned Imperial outpost of Barton 4 to use its terminals to bypass the security and activate the datapad. When they arrive, the supply depot has been abandoned, and to get enough power to access the terminals to retrieve the data, they must power down the perimeter beacons. With the beacons down, the group realize what they were protecting the base from, as the Bad Batch must fight off a native monster previously repelled by the beacons. With the datapad accessed, Hunter and Crosshair lure the monster beyond the perimeter sensors so they can be reactivated and the team can get to their ship. While on Bossum 4, the Bad Batch learns about Crosshair's journey while with the Empire and discovers that he was betrayed by the Empire and had killed an Imperial officer at the same facility. Hunter and Crosshair also manage to begin to talk to one another and rebuild some trust lost after the split of the Bad Batch. Now aligned together and with more clues to the location of Mount Tantiss, the team leave Bottom 4 to return to Pabu, knowing that they just have to keep trying, and then there might still be hope.
All about hope in the galaxy far, far away, right?
Indeed it is. Yeah. Hope that there is some gin and tonic lying around with all that ice, I guess.
Maybe. We're not at the cantina quiz yet, John, so you're going to have to hold off your gin and tonic till then.
Yes. Down, John, down.
As we get into the episode, I just want to say one big compliment to them. This episode's a really important episode, I think. Putting the batch back together, having everybody here that's able to be here. But I think a great choice they had. There is only one external character outside of the batch, only AZ-3, that appears on screen. All of the characters are mentioned. You mentioned Rex. You mentioned all the people that are on Pabu, but it is only the Bad Batch that are here. So this effectively is a two-hander between Michelle Ang and Dee Bradley Baker. And I think it's a great choice for this episode because it's so important to them. So you don't have anybody else that isn't part of this family unit. I thought that was a really good choice.
Yeah. And before we get into the last point, for me, what isn't said and how it is delivered through the animation, through the score, and just through some silent points, just really highlighting why Star Wars animation, Lucas animation, really still is some of the best on point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know that, say, like Star Wars Visions just won a BAFTA for their work. And again, I would place the guys who do Bad Batch right beside some of that Star Wars Vision stuff. Now, very different styles and things like that, but what they can portray in 5 seconds of silence.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Like, and I mean, again, this is a kids, quote unquote, kids show, and you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, but this is not. This is not your 12-year-old show anymore. They are bringing through some really strong emotional talk and ties here.
I think the ensemble of it all, from the voice acting through to the animation, through to the score, as you say, it all really it just lends itself to, you know, whatever type of emotion that's happening on screen. Mm-hmm. You know, there is joy from Omega, but the tension between Crosshair and Hunter, you could cut like a hot knife through butter, really. I mean, Hunter has, you know, they animate a real glare that comes from Hunter. It's really good.
Yeah.
Like, you can sense, like, the issues just from those facial expressions.
Absolutely.
You know? Really, really good. But I think let us get into our blaster points. First off, blaster point number one. We are back on Pabu. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is pina colada time here. with the sun, the sea, and the sand.
Shakes.
And the shakes.
I was going with the shakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Crosshair shakes are getting worse. Crosshair has some seriously low accuracy. Uh-huh. He is no longer like a special. He's lost his special sauce.
He has. Or he's had too much of the sauce, all those pina coladas on the tropical island paradise of Pabu. But yeah, absolutely. Like, I like this, you know, I like the kind of the contrast they do here on Pabu with Omega, like, completely content being in her little cubby hole on the ship with the Loth Cat plushie. And, you know, she comes out is asking where Crosshair is, and he's still adjusting, you know, that Crosshair's having to adjust to this.
Yeah.
Not only is it that he's free of the Empire, but, you know, he's back with people that, you know, in their minds, he betrayed or went against their brotherhood.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's plus. Plus, also, Crosshair is, as you say, with the handshaking, it seems like it's getting worse. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you know, that's playing on his mind. So I just love this kind of contrast here, coupled with, you know, Hunter definitely still, you know, massively suspicious of Crosshair. Yeah.
Absolutely. He betrayed them. At least that's what Crosshair believes at the beginning of the episode, but I do like that they cut to Wrecker, and he's kind of go, well, if Omega says he's fine, then he's fine with me. Welcome back, exactly. Brother. Here's your old outfit. We kept it. I thought it was, it would be a bit of a waste to throw it out. Here's your old uniform. I kept it in storage for you. Thanks very much.
We're back together. Great.
Anybody need a hug? Yeah, yeah. It was lovely. It was
great, really nice. Moment.
Yeah.
Throughout the beginning of this, it's how you start to feel the tension ratchet up. And again, Derek, you said, like, Crosshair portrayed him, or they portrayed Crosshair, depending on your point of view. Mm. There is a right answer, but I will not put anyone on blast by saying Crosshair was right. No. I feel they get into it as the team sits down for this discussion of what to do next about the tablet and things like that. It really... you start to feel the beginning of the distrust. There, it's there, but it really just starts to ratchet up almost a piece every time. So you can start to feel the distrust growing and growing with each poke and prod. And Omega calls it out. Hunter and Crosshair are being very mean, and he turns around and says, well, Hunter started it.
Yeah.
Like, they don't trust when Omega goes to the beach to get Crosshair before they even sit down.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching.
Yeah.
Like, there is just deep distrust.
Yeah.
And it just really kind of gets worse.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, bringing in the final member of the Bad Batch, having Echo return to them. While they're at that table having that discussion, they do have a moment between them to remember the loss of tech, you know. Effectively, the whole... story is set off here with Echo having the data pad of Nala Se, saying that's potentially could give them a lead on how to get back to Tantus, or maybe help them build their plans of how to attack Tantus when they do find it, but they can't get into it because it's got the Imperial encryption on it. And instantly it's like, well, if Tech was here, he'd have an idea what to do with it, but the rest of us don't have that skill. So they just have a little moment where everybody goes silent thinking of the lost brother that they
have. Absolutely. It was so good. And it's also then that ultimately the person that steps up to the plate effectively with the plan is Crosshair. But also, whilst they can see the logic of it, there's the distrust that just keeps permeating through.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine... you know, we need to be on high alert here, even if we go through with this plan. But ultimately, I like the fact that it is Crosshair who steps up to say that we can use an Imperial terminal, and I know where we can go. But I mean, that's also a huge amount of trust to then place in this plan, coming from someone that they've has only just returned.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, in the sense they do, mainly because they've got no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's hugely like, you know, you see the tension break out very soon after when they arrive on Barson 4.
Yeah.
So I kind of liked how this all sort of played out. And, I mean, in the background, it is Omega wanting to have the happy family again.
Yeah, absolutely. I also love that as an audience, you're able to look at both sides of what's happening here, especially as soon as you realize it's Barton Ford that Crosshair's bringing them back to. We've seen what happened to him there. That was the moment that he realized the Empire has no respect for clones at all and willing to let them die for no reason, for uniforms, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That they were just guarding for years and allowed to die, not get any supplies in, and then that's the point where he turned on the Imperial officer and killed him. So on the other side of it, so while Hunter specifically is distrustful of this information from Crosshair, he's also bringing them back to the worst moment in his life, effectively.
Yeah, absolutely.
The moment where everything fell apart. So as an audience member, I think it's really cool that you know that background and what he went through. And that's something that Hunter won't know until they have their discussion later.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because, yeah, Hunter is absolutely distrustful. I think Echo is cautious.
Mm-hmm.
And Wrecker is, well, let bygones be bygones.
Absolutely.
You know, Omega has, so why not myself?
Exactly.
You know, so
exactly.
There's a real spectrum here as well.
Absolutely.
That is confronting, in particular, Hunter here.
Absolutely. And we also have Echo, who's on his mission. Echo, the only one of the Bats that has a different mission. Everybody else was effectively saving Omega. That was their mission. He was off on his other mission to hopefully take down the Empire or save as many of the clone brothers as he can. So he is here on a mission and is trying to get them all together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But speaking of that mission, should we get on to our blaster point 2?
Sure.
Fighting monsters on bottom 4. Mm-hmm. It is as though Denis Villeneuve's Dune was set on ice.
Absolutely.
Or tremors.
Or tremors, yeah, exactly.
Tremors in ice, in space.
I absolutely. I think it's just because Dune 2 is out, it was like, look, it's the worms from Arrakis. It's the chillier cousins.
Yeah.
But this is Arrakis and global warming. So basically, this is early Arrakis. And then it's just... Because remember, this is long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yes, indeed it is. But we have everyone here, in a sense, working together and having a role once this threat is identified.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of suspicion flying around, you know, and I think Hunter pretty much, because of the fact that this place is abandoned, he doesn't know why. Because, in effect, he's not asked Crosshair. You know, we do hear them, certainly Echo saying they just need to talk to one another. They need to talk it out, or at least begin that talking out to try and move on from this kind of standoff that they're having. But when the chips are down, you know, as they enact the plan to hack this terminal and get the data off the data pad, the only way of doing that is to get enough power, which these beacons, which are keeping the worm away, are preventing from, because it's been abandoned for so long. So ultimately, they let in their foe by having to access the data pad and retrieve the data. But when the attack comes, when the this monster, this creature begins to attack, they all do kind of operate as the Bad Batch, as that well-oiled, well-trained machine, which I really, really enjoyed.
Absolutely. Omega's on the decryption of the pad, Echo's spotting Hunter and Crosshair while they're going out to fight against the monster, and we've got Wrecker working on the electricity, the power to turn on the station. I really like that. But I do have a question, though, about the conversation. So they are really tetchy with each other, Hunter and Crosshair. There's an interesting moment when this creature is first discovered on the planet, where Hunter goes to him, "Why didn't you tell us about that?" I think I used it as the clip at the opening of the episode. But Crosshair is asking Hunter, "Why didn't you tell us about the monster on the planet?" And Crosshair goes, "Are you scared of that?" Crosshair didn't know about the monster on the planet.
Exactly.
He only knew about the scavengers, which he killed on the planet. He thought this planet was empty, completely empty, and all they would have to deal with. But he bites back instantly at Hunter, which I just thought was an interesting choice. So he's distrustful and angry at Hunter blaming him, I guess. That's what it feels like.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, there's even that poignant moment, I think, for Crosshair, you know, where he finds the clone trooper helmets from his comrades that he had gone there with initially, and had been pinned down by the Raiders.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like the way, you know, he stacked that. And you know, in a sense, whilst you don't get any comment from Hunter you just see Hunter watching him from a distance.
Yeah.
You know, seeing him do this kind of this ceremony in a sense almost for himself.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, really good because yes, there is distrust, but I guess on the icy planet, we're beginning, you know, the little small tentative steps towards a thaw.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed this. Look, I suppose for me, it's the... This felt like an almost monster of the week, but they're twisting and changing this, which is what I really enjoyed, because it's not about the monster of the week.
No.
It's about the distrust, the thing. Like, one of the standout moments for me, and you mentioned it, John, is where Crosshair's stacking those helmets that have just been discarded.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wow, that's not the Crosshair. That's not the just following orders Crosshair.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Crosshair that has grown over the course of season two as the rest of his kind of colleagues, comrades are being killed. And it is just really showing that kind of next part, the evolution, if you call it, of the batch.
Yeah.
But just getting it to, like, as you said, they all just fall into their roles and then the mission is a success. They get what they want out of it. So, or as much as they can out of that tablet. And just getting it to, like, some nice fun animations as they run underground or as hunters underground. And again, we also just saw how bad of a shot Crosshair is again as he is shooting to try and get into that open maw of the beast and missing quite a lot.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, you know, it's Crosshair actually, it's almost like, you know, the thing that's happening here is the adage of leave no man behind. You know, he's following, you know, once Hunter falls through the ice, he's tracking him with Batcher and, you know, then trying to get him out before the creature returns. And you have Echo spotting, as you said, when he was last on that planet and with the clone trooper helmets, it links like he didn't want to leave anyone behind. Mm-hmm. It was that well-organized, trained, but the camaraderie, making sure that everyone gets back from the mission. And it was the same with those troopers. And with the Imperial officer, that was he had the complete opposite. It was like,
exactly,
you're just being left here because you're expendable to the Empire. So it's simply, on Bottom Four, it's almost the same muscle memory kicking in for Crosshair. And I just really like that idea of it. But this time, it's with Hunter. And in some ways, there's just as much, if not at least more, on the personal level at stake, because they were brothers in the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
There was this, you know, rupture within the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
And it's still early days, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But I think that also leads us on to our blaster point number 3. It is that exposing of the inner demons with each other or to each other that has happened here on Bottom Four.
Yeah, yeah, but Crosshair and Hunter finally laying it all on the table. So, as you mentioned, Crosshair killed the Imperial officer Nolan on this planet in the past. So this was the turning point for him. But you know what? I really liked how this was written. It wasn't about Crosshair feeling sorry for himself about what he'd done. He is saying he thought it would all work out. He was a good soldier following orders. That's the phrase we've always heard from Crosshair, until he was dropped in it, until he realized what the Empire was doing, he realized their treatment of everybody around him. They were not about getting the clones back from the mission. They were just throwing them away, guarding stuff nothing important even, and allowing them to die.
Yeah.
At that point, but that's not the crux of exposing the demons. The bigger demon here is that the reason why Hunter feels the way he does about Crosshair is because Crosshair is the one that helped Omega. It wasn't Hunter. He traveled across the galaxy, but everything that he did was for naught because it was Omega that got herself out and Crosshair was the one that helped her.
Yeah.
And I love that Crosshair pushes that in his face. I just think it was so...
It is.
It was such a great moment.
But yeah. It's the whole lead up to that as mm-hmm. well. I mean, because, you know, Hunter's concern is, you know, he's kind of pushing him, tell me what happened,
yeah.
you know, did you not think we would ask questions?
Yeah.
Effectively, did you betray the Empire like you have done, you did with us?
Mm-hmm.
Which is almost an absurd question, you know, yeah. in a sense. But, and he ends, as you say, with the fact that, you know, you're annoyed because she escaped with my help, not yours. Mm-hmm. But he also, you know, reminds me, and I had actually forgotten about it, to be honest, that, you know, he had sent a message mm-hmm. there at great risk to him, and mm-hmm. it wasn't acted on by Hunter because of that distrust.
Yes.
Okay, understandable at the time, but,
yeah.
you know, in that kind of, sense, yeah. it's kind of understandable. You know, they didn't know whether they could mm-hmm. run with it because of what had happened or whether it was a trap.
Yeah.
But he also uses that, you know, you didn't act on it and Omega went through what she did because of you. So exactly. not even just the fact that he helped her escape and escaped with her mm-hmm. and not Hunter, but also that the reason for her being in Mount Tantis is because of Hunter.
Mm.
So, like, this was proper in your face.
Absolutely.
And it was really good.
For me, this is true sibling fight
yeah, absolutely.
Level stuff, which is like, no, like, you're not annoyed at what I've done. You're annoyed that you didn't get to help Mum out.
Yeah.
And it's even kind of expanded upon and grown upon in that we see how it's solved. When it is solved and the acceptance, there is this begrudging love and connection still between these band of brothers,
yeah.
these clones, this bad batch. And it's the acceptance of, well, okay, you couldn't help our sister. I didn't help our sister. She just kind of helped me get me out. Do you know what? We'll just get through this.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us are in the wrong, if you want. But it's just, it's a really just poignant kind of depiction of that, which is just like jealous brother anger kind of thing.
Well, yeah.
There's definitely some stuff they've done. Well, there's definitely some stuff Crosshair did.
Yes.
That you could definitely argue on, like, hey, you tried to shoot and kill us, yep. being a good soldier. But I think that maybe will come later. But overall, it was just a nice depiction of a family fight.
Yeah, but it also feels like they're drawing a line under it here.
Yes, agreed.
They realize that the bottom has fallen out of Crosshair's world. That's what made him make the decision to kill Nolan. That's why he's been in detention for this long.
Yeah.
And he's looking to Hunter, kind of going, what happened to you when the bottom fell out of your world? You know, we had that back in season two when Hunter was hoping to confront him with this information about Order 66 and that they didn't have to follow the order. It was just his chip making him do it, and Crosshair telling him, no, the chip's gone. Remember those scenes where he was saying to him, the chip's gone. I am doing this because I believe it's the right thing to do. And now he's finding out, or now he's just found out since the last time they met each other, it wasn't the right thing to do. The Empire had nothing for them. And I love that Hunter, in response to him, is saying, we just need to try and be better every day. That's what we did. Let's just try every day to be better. And hopefully, well, that will lead to more hope in the future if we try better every day. I just think it's a great moment between the two of them as they finish off. And of course, we get it all sealed with a massive bear hug from Wrecker.
Yeah, absolutely. Which was great. Mm-hmm. I loved just that kind of, you know, just before the ship takes off. As you say, they've heard the grievance,
mm-hmm.
then they have, it's slightly more, you know, rational, but it's Crosshair deliberately going to talk to Hunter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it was signposted by Echo at the start of the episode.
Yeah.
About his mistakes, and as you say, yeah, Hunt says we can just try to get better.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. And yeah, the Wrecker Burhug is really good. In fact, Wrecker is that, well, if it's good enough for Omega, it's good enough for me.
Yeah.
He does the big hug here. He's a real link in the chain, isn't he? Really. Even just, I think the link with the audience is like, because even as Hunter and Crosshair are trying to lure out the monster, he's like, why is there always a big monster?
Exactly.
You know, yeah. The kind of groan of it.
Yeah.
Why? It's such but a that is, good that little
is,
ending.
That is a nice fourth wall break, though. I like that. It's just telling the audience, yes, we know there's a monster every week, but that's what you want. But we'll also give you the emotional resonance that you expect to get from the Bad Batch. So great job. Great job. Only other thing I just want to note about the episode is just because Omega calls it out and I always forget it, she is the older sibling. She was effectively brought into the world before the rest of the batch, and they were all aged up and she wasn't. So I do like that she says that to Crosshair when he tells her she shouldn't be going on the mission, even though he knows she's fully capable of it and Hunter doesn't want her to go. He knows she's fully capable, and she says, no, I'm the older one. I'm allowed to go. Don't call me kid, basically. So I like that.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
One final kind of bit from me just on this, which is more kind of back to Blast Point 1 when we were in Pabu. They talk about, they say the goodbye to Tech. They all have that kind of moment. Mm-hmm. We still haven't seen the body of Tech.
Yeah,
that is
we
true.
We never saw anything.
That's very true.
This is, I want to posit one thing,
mm-hmm.
which is just, we never saw the body of Tech. We know that that's where Hemlock was. We never saw what was in some of the vats. I wonder if Tech is in one of those vats, and that's how Tech will be brought back to a degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because, again, we never saw the body, and I think now that Crosshair is back, I feel they may bring the batch back fully together.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end, just to kind of then kill them all again and slowly kind of wreck our hands.
Oh, Chris.
I was with you there.
I was with you there, and where the show was going to end with a scrolling credit, they all went on to live long and happy lives away from the Empire on a planet far away, but no. Going to kill them all before the
yeah, absolutely.
Bring them
well,
back
no,
to
it's going to be like, it's going to be like the end of Blackadder goes forth. Where they just all come
it
up
could
over
be.
The ridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it fades to black and white.
Yeah,
no, really. I just, it was just kind of, the fact that they had the goodbye for Tech,
yeah.
and then they just didn't linger enough on it. I'm like, I get the feeling his goodbye is not done yet.
That's because they know we've been crying about it for over a year since the last season came out. They're like, oh, let's not dwell on it too much.
Know,
we have
absolutely.
Other stuff to get through.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, Chris. I think that would be a lovely twist for the show to bring Tech back. But the twist being that he's been tortured for a year to make him one of Hemlock's experiments. It'd be a big reveal. I wouldn't put it past them.
Hemlock had his goggles at Sid's bar. He could very well be in the custody of Hemlock.
Absolutely.
But, any final notes there from anyone?
Nope, that was all my majors.
Yep, nothing else to be.
Excellent stuff. Let us get on to our final thoughts. Chris, what are your final thoughts for episode 5?
Loved it. I loved this one, even though it was a monster week, and I usually complain when there's a monster of the week type of approach. This, for me, it was a monster of the week in the background. Literally a monster of the week in the background. It was this story was about the reuniting and the reconciliation of the remaining batch, the remaining brothers. And I think that's, there's still going to be work to be done to repair that trust. But as you said, they fell back into their roles. They, at the end, did accept. And you got the Wrecker hug to kind of seal the deal.
Yeah.
So this is kind of, Derek, I think you said it, this kind of firmly kind of just plants the flag of like, this is the end. Mm-hmm. We're moving forward into the next chapter now. So very interested to see kind of what that next chapter is, which I'm assuming is taking down Hemlock and Mount Tantus, saving the remaining clones. So yeah, no, really enjoyed it.
Good stuff. Derek, what did you think of episode 5?
Loved this, best episode of the season so far, and I like that it's built up to this episode. Everything else was getting the whole team back together. As I said at the beginning, just the choice of having it only be Dee Bradley Baker and Omega, and just a little moment with AZ3 is a great choice, because this episode absolutely had to happen. We had to have a moment where they all air the grievances, go, right, that's it. Now we're moving on. We're the batch again. We have a bigger plan to get to. It can't just be about us traveling around the galaxy to get Omega back or what I what they were doing earlier on. I was kind of joking a couple of weeks ago, Chris, when we were talking about the first episode of the season, and saying that this could be the entire season. It could have been the batch traveling across the galaxy, yeah, trying to find Omega, yeah, and they get her back in episode 15. Big hug from Wrecker. End credits, end of story. But there's a much bigger story about the clones. What happens to all of the clones that were created for the army and dropped by the Empire? Now we will be moving into that phase of this story. How will Rex and Echo specifically, because they seem to be the two leaders of that group that are going after the clones and trying to get them back, how do they accomplish the mission now with the help of the Bad Batch to take down Tantus and to take down Dr. Hemlock's operation? So that's a really exciting phase of the story that we're going into. Looking forward to that. How about yourself, John? What's your final thoughts on The Bad Batch 305?
Yeah, I loved this episode as well. I'd give this 5 spicy, icy June worms out of 5. I just think it's a really great reconnection with the remaining Bad Batch all together again. And actually, with a significant amount of trauma from Crosshair, and the gradual sort of thawing of Hunter here.
Yeah.
But only gradual, they've still got to work on it, but a realization of what his brother has gone through has clicked here.
Yeah.
And in no small part down to the fact that Crosshair challenged himself to realize why things had changed, but also to challenge Hunter's preconceptions. Mm-hmm. So loved that. Loved Wrecker in this episode. In a sense, not right up there up front, but I think 3 really important moments for Wrecker in this episode. And like you said at the start, I think having just literally the Bad Batch on the screen was really a necessary thing to do with them all getting back together. Obviously, minus Tech, but we have that little nod to him being lost, presumed dead. And so, yeah, for me, 5 spicy, icy June worms out of 5 for this episode.
Great stuff. Well, let's raise a glass to Tech as we go over to the cantina for the cantina quiz.
Indeed, let us do that. Fellow quizzers, fellow batchers, welcome to the Bad Batch Cantina Quiz for Season 3. We are on Episode 5, so of course we are on Question 5. The question is, what is Crosshair's target success rate down to as he practices his aim on Pabu?
Very good. AZ3 calls that out. So, that's there.
Spoilers. Yes. Shall I give that again, Derek?
Go on, please. Yes.
What is Crosshair's target success rate down to as he practices his aim on Pabu?
Excellent stuff. That's question 5. If you've missed any of the questions so far, pop on over to our website at tvpodcastindustries.com. All the questions should be up there by now for the questions so far. There are a total of 15 questions in this cantina quiz, and you could get your hands on 5 Funko Pops of The Bad Batch by sending your correct answers into feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com, and one lucky batcher will get their hands on those.
Yes, good stuff. Let's move on to our feedback from last week's episode 4, from our fellow batchers.
Yes, it's just me for feedback for the Bad Batch for this week. John has gone away, and we didn't get a chance to record the feedback before he left. So if you want to keep me company for the next couple of weeks, you can email in your feedback for any of the episodes of the Bad Batch to feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com, and I'll pop in the feedback after each of the episodes. First up, on the first three episodes, Donald Dennis sent in some feedback, which came in a little bit late for last week's podcast. He says about episode 1 to 3, after the first three episodes, I'm convinced that this will be the best season of Bad Batch. Heck, the boys even managed to catch a bounty and get it turned in without completely messing up the mission, even if their payout was only another link in the chain. Perhaps it was because I watched all three in one sitting, but I didn't find it went overboard in the depressing like you did. It felt like the showrunners did what they needed to build up empathy and show what the characters are feeling without making me want to stop watching. Thanks for that, Donald. Yeah, I think it was me that was probably most depressed by that first episode, but I think that's, you know, that was just to give the thoughts as I felt them watching the first episode. By the end of the three episodes, yeah, I think I was very upbeat about them, and I do think this season has been great so far. Been really, really good overall. Yeah, I love that the final two members of the Bad Batch, Wrecker and Hunter, do get to complete a mission, but it is off screen, and mostly when we see them go on a mission in an episode, they fail or don't achieve what they want to achieve, I suppose. And that's kind of the same in this episode. They don't complete the mission as they thought they were going to, but they do get some information that leads them on the trail for Omega, at least. But thanks for that, Donald. Also over on Facebook, Victor Von Doom says, the Stormtroopers are earning their reputation as not hitting the broadside of a Bantha. They obviously don't know not to stand behind a ship's engine or even when to duck. I was happy to see the crooked captain get et. Hemlock and Crosshair seem to have the same hand issues. Results of the same experiment, maybe? The reunion was touching. I'm sure Omega can make peace between Crosshair and the others. Props to Filoni and Co. Excellent stuff. Yes, I see you've noticed the same issue that we've been noticing, Victor, about the hands of Hemlock and Crosshair. They both seem to be shaking. So what is it that's causing that? It'd be very interesting to see. Thanks, Victor. Also on Facebook, Russell Hooper says, 3 out of 4 episodes that Hunter and Wrecker, wild. I know they were just in the end of episode 4, but weren't in the full episodes before that. I fully expected Omega to mind trick the ticket agent. Great catch by Victor Von Doom on Hemlock and Crosshair. Omega's proving to be a pretty good pilot. That very broken shuttle descended at a steep angle, yet she pulled it level enough to survive the crash. She had a great teacher. So, where should the batch go from here? I say lay low for a few years, let the trail go cold. On a side note, I'd like to propose something. Names for our two Star Wars galaxies. The original galaxy is the Lucas Galaxy, and the new one is the Filoni Galaxy. If Disney won't name them, then we should. I kind of like that, Russell. Yeah, the Lucas Galaxy and the Filoni Galaxy. But the two of them do combine quite often, and now especially with Filoni in the lead at the moment. Where should the batch go from here? Yeah, definitely should go back to Pabu, chill out there, and hopefully the Empire doesn't find them there in the future. And exactly as you say, Omega is a very good pilot, taught very well by Tech in the past, of course. Thanks, Russell. And Dr. Bob Phillips says, oh, they've got their daughter back. And like the famous five with Timmy the Dog or Batcha the Lurker Hound from the Edge of Hell, I'm sure they'll have japes and ginger beer aplenty, or more likely slavery, extortion and near-death experiences. Enjoyed seeing Omega use her talents to the fore this time, and it's always good to get a Yorkshire villain. The animation of the Misty Breath was magnificent. Oh, absolutely, Dr. Bob, the animation on this show is just so, so good. Really, really good. Yeah, I'd be doubtful they're going to be able to rest on their laurels for very long after this episode, because we're only 5 episodes into the season, right? So got lots more to go. Brilliant stuff. Thanks everybody for your feedback. I'll hand you back to John and myself and Chris from the past to finish out the episode, and we'll be talking again next week. Please keep sending in your feedback to us.
So I think that's it until next week, when we are going to be back with not one but 2 episodes as we dive back into our chit-chat about all things Star Wars The Bad Batch with Episode 6, Infiltration, and Episode 7, Extraction, on March the 13th. And we'll be going back to ultra-violent adult animation of Invincible Season 2. Or at least
whoop, whoop.
Chris and Derek will be.
Yeah, and I actually think it'll be Chris and me for Infiltration and Extraction as well, John.
Because you'll be infiltrating and extraction a holiday.
That is true. Yeah. I will be away.
He will
not
be away.
Not on holiday, though.
Yeah, he will be away next week. But If you want to hear John's voice, you can always hear him on our Shogun podcast, which also comes out every Wednesday as we talk about the epic Japanese 16th century drama Shogun on Hulu.
So we have a podcast for everyone's taste. Yeah. Do you want a galaxy far, far away? Do you want superheroes with lots of blood and just adult narrative? Or do you want to just dive into the past with an epic Japanese-themed epic show?
Drama?
Drama, even better.
That's the word.
There we go. So, fellow batchers and fellow industrialists, if you want to get access to our podcasts on all of those episodes, please head on over to tvpodcastindustries.com.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Bad Batch. Looking forward to those that double episode next week. Speak to you again then.
Thanks, guys. Speak to you again soon.
Yeah, until next week, keep watching, keep listening, and of course, keep being bad.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.